the cauldron for another episode of Good Witch, Bad Witch. Which witch are you?
The dishes, the laundry, get lawnmower gas. Write a perfect ending, not one that will pass. You'll never get it all done, so you might just have some fun. Play along with the Harried Witches as they talk about their unfinished business and poor endings. And now, Shelley, Lisa, and Daryl.
Guess what day it is? I'm so sorry. That sounded like a creepy little kid.
And
guess what day it is?
What's that?
Now I'm sounding too sexy. I think we should just leave all of this in.
Yep.
Yeah. No, I'm not taking anything out.
Guess what day it is?
Is it Wednesday?
It's Witchy Wednesday, 4th. People.
September 4th. We sing a lot of singing songs.
You've welcomed.
That's the best intro of all time.
You have welcomed us into your house, believe it or not. Jeez. Okay.
You've welcomed us into your house, people. This is Good Witch, Bad Witch. This is not our first show. This is actually really close to number 200.
Yeah.
If you just turned in, you're probably thinking,
who are these babbling idiots?
Yes. But you know what? Who we are is the Good Witch, Shelley Majors.
Hadley ho.
The Bad Witch, Lisa Brown, which is me.
Yep.
The babbling one. The babbling bad witch. And the Man Witch, Daryl Brown.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you for listening to another babbling episode of Good Witch, Bad Witch. This week, it's called The Rest Is Still Unwritten. Is that?
Yes.
Sarah Bareilles.
Nope. Natasha Bedingfield.
Same thing.
Yes.
Yeah, so all came out about the same time.
Really, those ladies were all in the same genre.
They all had really nice voices.
Indeed.
But what year was that?
That was like an Australian
issue? That was the time where they all were Paula Cole-y and on soundtracks for Dawson's Creek.
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking like 2006.
All right.
No wonder you had that CD so much, the Paula Cole one. You loved it.
That was Poe.
Poe. Yeah.
No, that was the Poe.
You didn't have a Paula Cole CD because it was a black cover.
Yeah.
Little cartoon.
I bought the Poe CD.
Poe.
Four times. So I was like, I love this CD.
Uh-huh.
And then I had it. And then it was like, oh my God, I love this CD.
Do you remember back in the day when Don's Discs was around?
Yeah.
So we would go there.
Carol and she'd be like,
swear to God. And I go, you just bought that last weekend.
Well, I really liked it.
One of those things that it's as fun to buy it as it is to listen to it.
Yeah.
I love going to a record store.
Yeah.
Do it.
That would be me with Blind Melon's first album. I think I had that more.
So we are talking about things that are unfinished, like that whole conversation.
Oh, indeed.
Yeah.
I never got to finish which kind of hamburger I like.
No. I think we ended with green chili and
called
it good.
Okay, we're good. Okay. So, okay, Lise, take us in. What do we got going on?
Well, I'm handing this over to Shelley now.
Yes.
This is her episode.
All right, Shells.
There's so much to do. And I think I got inspired by this. There's a podcast that's kind of funny. That's really funny, actually, that I think is really unique. And it's called The Biggest Flop. But each week they talk about bad things that happened. And it was like a baby flop, a medium flop, an epic flop, or whatever. And for instance, like the Game of Thrones finale or Nipplegate, with the Janet Jackson Super Bowl affair, whatever.
Yeah.
And things like that. And I think that's fabulous. So the Game of Thrones things kind of led me to, if I could finish things differently, how would I do it? And also, here's another list of 7,000 things that I need to finish.
Yeah.
And so then I changed that list of unfinished things to a short list of things I need to finish soon. And then a list of things I'll never finish.
Mm.
And a list of things, ideally, if I could finish them, would I?
Right.
Follow me.
Yeah.
I follow me.
Uh-huh. My short list to get done, but that I keep putting off. I could make excuses for it, but okay, so I've become the lawnmower at my house too. Mm-hmm. Me and Daryl are the lawnmowers in our households. And luckily, the gas can, it's a gas mower, gas and electric, but with electric starter, it has lasted till here it is September 4th, the day that we're recording this. I have one more mow left, and then I need to go get gas. I don't want to do it. But it's on my list of things I have to get done because it's not going to go get itself.
No.
It's not going to pay for itself. It's not going
to
put
something. You can't.
You can't.
No.
And it
I wonder
sucks
if I could
too.
Puff Daddy. What is that called? Go Puff.
Go Puff.
Go Puff Daddy. Could you come bring me some gas?
Puff Daddy is so down on his luck right now.
He's doing anything and everything.
Gas, you guys.
Yeah.
I didn't know if you knew that. You heard it here first.
But then he gets to your house and goes, do you got time for a little video real quick?
Yeah. He's just anything for money.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. Yeah. We're wearing the all-white party.
Well, the thing that sucks about having to go get gas, too, is putting the gas can in your car.
Yeah.
You know? It does. And so that's why I went electric. Mm-hmm. I got a battery, 18-volt battery lawnmower.
Do you love it?
Oh, I love it to death. And I just noticed yesterday we were outside, and a couple other neighbors were mowing. They bought the same exact mower. So I had the trifecta on my side of the street.
Yes.
The gal that lives across the street from me bought one. And the person next door to them have the exact same. It's a little. It's
you're
a little.
Keeping
more.
Up with the Joneses.
That's
no,
right.
They're keeping up with us.
They're exactly. keeping up with us. Like, we're the one. We're the new ones on the blocks.
Oh, my gosh.
Yep.
Yeah.
That is amazing. So, okay, speaking of gas, this wasn't on my list. Daryl, don't freak out. But gas in your car, always on the list. Mm-hmm. How low do you go?
We do pretty good.
But I mean, like, I will not go below quarter of a tank.
The funny thing is, I'm better than her, and then, because we have two cars. So there's times when I have the blue car, and I always keep it gassed up. The black car, we use E87.
So, yeah, it's E85, I think.
E80, but...
So it's the corn gas, and it's really cheap.
Oh.
And that's why I drive that to work all the time, because it's not a nicer car, but
it's better on gas.
The gas is cheaper, and it's better on gas.
Got
so,
it.
But the problem is that not a lot of places have E85.
You got a handful of places.
So I'm constantly just putting in like $10 thinking I'll get E85 later, and it never happens. So I'm getting...
I don't know that game because she plays that with herself now.
Because I'm like, oh, because when I go to get my massage from Terry, there's a place between here and there.
Right.
But the last time Daryl drove me, so we were in the blue car, we didn't have the E85. And so, but whenever I go there, I fill it up. And then it lasts me usually for the 3 weeks.
Right.
It's crazy, yeah.
But it's the gas game, and you're driving all over Tarnation.
The last 3 weeks, I've been playing the gas game. I've been
$10 here, $10 there.
Yeah, it's been dumb. But so I'm funny. Like, I'm not going to put in more than that when I can get it for... It's seriously like $1.85 a gallon or something.
Wow.
Like that. Yeah. So it's so much easier and better and cheaper, obviously. So then I'm like, I'm not putting in $3.40 in gas. I'm going to put 2 gallons in.
That's amazing. So, for those of you listening in the way future, unleaded gas right now is about $3.19 to $3.50-ish. Uh-huh. So you're only paying $1.85?
No, I think it's $2-something.
$2.20.
Still, it's cheap. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's incredible. Unless you have to drive 20 miles to get it.
Right.
Yeah.
There's not a lot
of there's one. There's actually one on 72nd and Sheridan. Well, federal, 72nd.
I went
federal.
Too far with the gas.
No, I'm sorry.
But
80th. I feel like we're in a hamburger talk right now. 80th and federal.
80th and Sheridan.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
It's across from Arcos, but
Arcos.
Las Arcos.
But it's constantly on your list of things to do.
Yes.
And so, if given your druthers, Daryl, in your vehicle, you never let it get below half a tank?
I don't. And my thing is, too, we're big King Supers. We use our card all the time. So we get the $10.
The savings,
the 10 cents off, 30 cents off. And so, like the other day, I just needed a little bit of gas to get me back and forth. And I'm like, and then I'll go fill up at King's. But I have to have a different credit card because they don't take Venmo.
Oh.
We have a Venmo credit card, and King Supers won't take the Venmo credit card.
It's a constant struggle.
It's so
I was going to say struggle. And
then my mother-in-law's going to listen to this. I accidentally, about a month ago?
Yeah,
I used her thing. And I was like, gosh, we've really been saving up. That was 50 cents off a gallon. I'm like, oh.
That's huge.
I use my mother-in-law's car.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
so I use their 50 cents. So, Patty, I owe you.
Oh, yep. Yeah.
She really, has a really Patreon, do. So she probably will be listening, and she's going to curse me.
Yeah. No, yeah, that's a huge savings.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's something that I need to get done in the short term. So I'm still training for my new job as of the day that we're recording this, and it's 3 weeks of training. And I come from an environment that wasn't corporate, and it would be sometimes days like, figure it out. Go out. You got this. If you have any questions, let me know. Mm-hmm. The training was so willy-nilly and whatever. We eventually, I think after being open for 15 years, had an employee handbook that Rhiannon did, which was so great. But the training is so intense and everything. I'm excited to, that's on my list of stuff to get done. So I feel like I can contribute, you know?
Yeah. Like, you're excited to read the employee handbook?
No, to be done training so I can contribute.
Yeah, so she can be,
so I can like actually legit. Do a job instead of just asking a bunch of questions and bothering people who have other things to
Got
do.
It.
Yeah, so that's it. But here's this is the one that this could go on for a while. What is your chores and your list that are never finished?
Well, you know, we've been out here, gosh, is it going to be 4 years?
Yeah.
This October.
October, yeah.
In October. We've been out here 4 years. I still have pictures sitting in my room and all around on the floor.
I
have not got them hung.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, we've got all kinds of stuff that we still haven't even really put in the house that we had or we have. You know, so that's you know, that it's like,
it's
seriously.
Never done. And it's the things that you just have to come to peace with.
Yeah.
Probably like parents with diapers and constant laundry and spit up or whatever. It's right. Just like, this will never be finished. We just need to wipe our hands of it and do our best. And Jesus, take the wheel.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking.
Do you have a whole list, Daryl?
We got to get the pictures hung up. And yeah. The one thing that kind of irks me, and it's still to this day, I guess it's kind of, it pisses me off. When we moved here, the people that we bought the house from were supposed to clear out some crap around the outside of it,
that's right.
Around the house. Mm-hmm. And it's still there, and it really is driving me. But I'm like, do I rent a truck and go load it up and go to the dump? It's going to cost me $75, $80 to rent a truck,
right.
And then another $50 at the dump. Or do I just have one of those companies come that yeah. You know, cleaned up? I don't know. So it's a constant battle fight with me on the outside of that.
It's expensive that either way.
Come, do they put it in their truck, or
yes.
Do you have to have it?
No, they'll go into the backyard. They'll come in and load everything up, take it away, and then take it to the dump.
It might be worth it.
That's what I've been thinking that. I just need to find if anybody knows of a good salvage, or if you guys are a good salvage person, one of our listeners that can come help me out, that would be great.
Yeah.
Yeah, the people that I had were kind of a ripoff job when we were unloading some old furniture and stuff from the house. And we had to bring it up the stairs, take it outside, put it on the curb. Some of it we had to chop up just to get it through the stairwell and stuff. And then I want to say it was like $300 or $400. And then they had the cojones to go, and then, are you going to tip us? I'm like, I did all the fucking work.
You're like, put it in my car. I drove to the, they got in the back seat.
Right.
They were eating cheeseburgers.
You put it in your truck that's 2 feet away. And to be fair, my brothers actually brought it all upstairs. Right. But golly.
Don't let me use that company.
No, they were terrible. I'm still mad about it.
Yeah.
Wow.
My short list of things I need to do are deep clean the salon, like dust.
Yes.
I need to redo all of my polish palettes.
Yeah.
The other day, somebody picked a color and I couldn't find it.
Oh, no.
So
oh.
I need to have like a better system of like, I think I need to put like another like thing of wall instead of just having them on my desk, because I've bought so many now, I have them on my desk instead of on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like kind of embarrassed because they're like, can I have this color? And I'm like, you could if I knew where it was. And that was embarrassing. I have a couple toll bills that I haven't paid.
Mm-hmm. Oh, shit. Yeah.
This is the thing that's funny, though. It's not that I didn't want to. Apparently, I wrote a check, put it in my purse, and never sent it. So now it's gotten to the point where it's so high that I can't afford it.
Oh, no.
So, yeah, it's just sitting there
because they put penalties on it.
It's mm-hmm. sitting there gathering
penalties, and I don't know what to do because I can't afford to pay it. So and I want to be like, dude, I tried, and they're like, you didn't try.
You didn't try it enough.
Yeah, that's on there. We need to make an appointment with Ford about the recall on
mm-hmm.
the car,
mm-hmm.
and I need to work on getting a consolidation loan so I can pay off my high interest credit cards.
Same.
Yeah.
I'm doing that this month. I'll let you know when I find out.
Yeah, who you?
Yeah,
go
let us
through.
Know who you go through. We've gone through a couple other people, and we're like, we own a $600,000 house.
Right.
I tried Belco.
Two vehicles.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I tried Belco, and they wouldn't give me the loan because I don't have...
She has good credit.
I have great credit. I have... equity.
Yes.
And things like two
but
cars.
You can't verify all of your income
exactly.
because you own your own
they
company.
They said that I took many deductions.
I hate them.
I know.
Just
I was like,
dicks.
You know, I mean, everybody knows that that we try to do any deduction we can.
Well, of course.
It's like, you
because you own your own business
yeah.
and stuff.
Yeah.
And it's
that's
like,
how you do it.
If they say, well, how are you going to pay us back? Again, did I mention the equity? And also, I've been at my job for 27 years
well,
or whatever.
Also, I've paid, I mean, if I can pay this back, at 27%, I can pay you back at 4.
And half the time.
I've never missed a payment. I've never missed a payment.
Right.
My credit is
credit
in the 700s.
Right.
So come on, give me, it's so stupid.
And I think you should put that when you call them back or call customer service. Say, come on.
I'm going to be like, you're stupid.
You're
and
dumb.
And then they'll probably give it to me.
Come on.
Yeah. Come on, y'all.
Yeah. And that's just my short list.
One that I have on mine, it's a long-term one, but it's probably never going to happen. Is I need to finish my tattoos.
Oh, yeah? But what's the ultimate plan?
I just have so much, I mean, it needs to be done and finished. I'm showing my arm like people, you can see it on Patreon. But I mean,
needs
just
to be colored.
Need coloring.
Oh, okay.
And every time,
nice from
you
here.
Know, Frank would go and do some work on me. I mean, are you ready to have some sushi? Because I'm a pussy now.
Oh.
I am a 57-year-old pussy that can't take the pain.
Your skin's thinner.
It's thinner.
There's that crepey.
But they got now they've got this lotion that numbs you.
Oh, you always said, "Oh, my pussies." Well, you just called yourself a pussy.
Well, I did say, but I am. I'll admit to it now.
All right.
I'm pussy.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, it's hard to sign up and pay for pain. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I think it's like a rite of passage. So, you don't feel the pain from a tattoo. You don't deserve it.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hamburger.
Oh my God. I need to work on the pod calendar. There's something on the list. Oh. We were trying to stay organized.
Yeah.
I did it for 1 week.
Uh-huh.
There we go. Hey, you guys, you know this. We moved into our houses at about the same time.
Uh-huh.
I have moved once since you guys moved in. When you put your stuff where you put your stuff, does it ever get moved again? I don't think so.
That's the thing that's hard, because it's like Daryl will like tell me, he's like, you know, we've had these boxes down here. We don't even know what's in them for 4 years. Let's just toss them. And I'm like, fuck to the fuck no.
Exactly, because you will need them someday.
Well,
and
even
you
if never I don't know. Need them,
yeah.
If I don't know what's in there, what if it's like, I don't know, like
your birth certificate,
yeah, like, yeah. Or baby pictures,
exactly,
or like videos,
Guinness's tooth,
right? Just things that, you know, maybe I don't need right now. And maybe I never
you will.
Need, but I definitely don't want to get rid of, so no.
Yes, agreed.
Yeah.
But I'm not talking about just unpacking, which is totally true.
Yeah.
I have boxes that I moved from house to house to house to house that have like, oh, my skydiving certificate in it or whatever.
Right.
I'm not going to do anything with it. Yeah. I'm not putting that on the wall.
Come on.
But, I mean,
come on. Hang it up.
I want to know that I did it, and it is a certificate
video?
Suitable for framing.
When did you
afford,
skydive?
I was with Rocky and Maria and Dog Bite.
Okay, I remember that now. Yeah.
Thank you, Dr.
Mike. Yep, and we went and had a strawberry daiquiri afterwards, and I called my mom from a payphone, and because she didn't want to know until after I was done and safe. But yeah, the scariest guy with the scariest name got a strawberry daiquiri at like 8 o'clock in
that's
the morning.
That's so fun. I do remember that now.
Yeah, there
when
was
you guys
whipped cream
that.
On it and whatever. The rest of us, I think, were drinking whiskey.
Because I think you guys had like a group picture of you and your gear and stuff,
yeah.
Rocky. Yeah, I
yeah,
do remember
it was
that
fun,
now. That's cool.
I lived, so
Thank
I don't
you,
need
dog,
to
Mike.
Do it again.
Okay, good.
But not just the not unpacked stuff, but let's say you move to a place and you put all your dishes in the cupboard and your silverware somewhere, whatever, and then I don't know, 5 months later you're like, this doesn't make any sense, you know, I want the water glasses by the sink and I want my dishes over here by the stove, I want this and this. You never move them.
No,
you have
no.
every intention, and but I mean, who maps it out before they move in? You're in a panic, you have to go back to work, you're tired, and the may the dishes fall where they may.
We did that with our silverware, because you can't really take the silverware because it's right if you open the dishwasher.
Yes.
The silverware drawer blocks where the when we've been saying it's really dumb for 4 years, but yet we haven't done anything about it,
and that's the way it's going.
It is.
I would
and
go
it's
to
fine.
That drawer. That just even today, Shells, she's been around the house long enough.
Uh-huh.
She walked over, opened up underneath the sink to throw, because we used to have the trash underneath the sink, and she
three
did that
3 years ago.
Yeah,
uh-huh. She goes.
And that was back in the days of burgers with eggs on them.
Right.
I mean, it was years
like 2 years ago, Shelly. Years ago.
Uh-huh. No, I know. So I'm like, oh, but she knows.
Yeah.
Well, Mom has taken a step in the right direction, and she's taken the bull by the horns.
Yeah.
And she bought a bunch of metal racks from Amazon. So when I moved in, Mom already has probably a cabinet and a half full of spices.
Mm-hmm.
So then I move in with all of my spices.
Ooh.
I'm one of those weirdos that loves to buy spices and doesn't really cook that much. Uh-huh. So we might have 17 things of Old Bay and whatever. And so, and we don't know where anything is. And there's spices. They're all amok.
It's all a pensies.
It's pensies.
Yes.
We've got short ones and tall ones and it's cuckoo pans. And I'm like, this is chaos. Tom,
yeah.
This is crazy. So anyway, she got the rack because I think I was getting bitchy when I would reach in the cabinet for the one thing I would use to cook,
uh-huh.
and then everything would just fall out.
Uh-huh.
And anyway, so we got the racks. We can see all the spices, and their peace has been restored in the land.
Oh, good.
Yes. She averted a spice catastrophe.
It's nice spice area now.
That's a finished chore.
Nice.
So good on you, cagers.
Yes. Awesome.
Good on you, cagers.
Yeah.
Let's see if I have any more of that.
What about things that you're not good at finishing?
All of them. Crafts.
That's me. I put art projects and crafts.
Yeah, can't do it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like especially my, well, I mean.
Diamond art.
I want to do that so
COVID
much
paintings.
So yeah. Funny. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm good at finishing projects as long as beer's not involved. Oh. Once beer gets involved, I'm like, oh.
Actually, you're good at finishing projects as soon as it gets started.
Mm-hmm.
It's starting it as the hard
He's
part.
In one sitting.
Well, no, like he... Getting him to get started on something is kind of, it's like, okay, you need to do this. But once he gets started, he doesn't stop until it's done.
Yeah.
He's a go-getter. We're the opposite.
Yeah, no.
I can get started all day long.
Yeah. With all kinds of things.
Exactly.
I'm a multi-starter tasker.
That's right. I'm like, I want to build the Louvre out of Legos.
Right. It's like, okay.
I didn't.
You just get the green ones.
You separate them all out. Like, okay,
they separate.
Now what do we do
when
here?
When you used to play Barbies, you're like, I'm going to play Barbies. And then you just dress your Barbie and you're like, I'm exhausted.
Exactly. She's ready to go to the ball. Like, now I have to act out the ball.
I don't want to act it out.
I finally saw that movie the other night. Did I tell you that?
No. We'll talk about it later.
That gave it a solid 5.
Yeah. I didn't think it was as good as
right down the middle.
It was not as hyped. I mean, as hyped up as it was. And I'm like, really? This is what everybody was
doing.
No, it was one of those that it distracted me from the content because I feel like somebody was like, this would be really fun to make the sets. And that's what I'm going to do. I'm the special effects guy. And that's what we're doing.
True. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, because everything, the effects and everything were pretty cool. But
that was great.
Everything else was like,
I was ready for it to be over.
Yeah. The other thing I'm not good at finishing is books.
Yeah, me either.
I always do. It doesn't, like, I don't stop. Like, once I start, I got to finish it, but it might be a couple years.
You know what? You might be getting to this book age. My mom and her friend have a book journal, and they write the books that they read, brief review or whatever, or what it is, and then just keep it so the next time they order stuff from the library, they can see if they had read that book or not already. Because they are old enough to order the book, the same book, again, 2, 3, or 4 times.
Oh.
And so her friend that got her started to doing that, she was like, yeah, I read this book. And then on page 52, it was getting on my nerves. I'm like, I just can't finish this. It sounds too familiar. I don't like it. I don't like where it's going. And she put it away. She went back to her book journal. She had gotten it before, quit it on page 52. She's like, I'm not doing this again.
That's funny.
So, saving time.
Huh.
The only problem with that whole thing is that I've read so many books that I feel like it just, like, it's like, you know, like, I can't remember to write all of them down.
Oh, yeah. You can't go back in time. You have to start fresh. And this is when you become of library age.
One time I read a book, and it was really, they actually just made a movie, not just, I would say in the last couple of years, made a movie out of it. I don't remember what it was called. But it was so good, and I really, really liked it. And one of my clients told me about it. And I knew exactly who it was because she would tell me about a lot of books and she was really good at telling me about books. And she came back in and I was like, oh my God, I totally listened. I like read that book that you told me about. And she's like, I didn't tell you about that.
You're like,
oh, that's weird.
It was so weird because she's like, I don't know what you're talking about. And I was like, no, I know. Like, there's a lot of things I don't know, but this one I do know.
For a
and
fact.
She's like,
that's crazy. Yeah.
I know. She's like, no, it wasn't me. And I'm like, it wasn't me. Don't make me feel crazy.
I'm not a big reader, you know that, of course. And so I actually, the last book I bought, I've read, like, kind of gotten into it. We say we have this reading area in the house.
Yeah.
We dedicated it one week.
The problem with our reading
it's
hot and uncomfortable and dark.
It's weird.
Which are three things you don't want
when you're reading.
Reading.
Are the chairs aren't insanely uncomfortable, but they're too small for Fiona, and she won't leave me alone.
She wants to sit up on her,
And so I can't hold the book and hold her too because the chair's not big enough.
Right.
And it's just not.
It's cute as a decoration.
It looks great. Yeah. It's got a good facade to it.
Yeah.
But so I bought this book, and the gal that I purchased the book, she was on. Was it Saved by the Bell? No. Boy Meets World.
Okay.
Yeah. Boy Meets World. It was probably a show that our kids used to watch. Mm-hmm. She's a porn star now.
Well, sure.
So I got the book, reading about it. So I get through it, put it down, haven't touched it for probably, seriously, a year. Mm-hmm. She's already got another book out. I'm like, I haven't even finished her first one.
Okay, the way that you phrased that story, it sounded like you knew the porn star. She lent you a book, and you didn't finish the book. I had a lot of questions.
I got to tell her thanks for loaning me the book. I got
to. We need to talk.
All right, I misread that.
Yeah. Oh, it's all good.
Okay, ideally, this is a list that I've started that I haven't started. I started the list, but not the things.
Okay.
Skincare regimen, exercise regimen, meal plan regimen, healthy things. It sounds good in theory,
yeah.
But I haven't started them, so I haven't finished it. Do you guys have a thing? Do you do a thing? Like, do you wash your face every night?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Do you
wash my face and brush my teeth and put moisturizer on?
You do the whole thing?
Mm-hmm.
Well, no wonder you're so hot.
Thanks.
Good on you. So she's a finisher.
Of that.
Yeah, of that.
Yeah.
Okay, so do you have a thing that you want to start and finish, let's say, this month?
Deep clean the salon, redo the polish palettes, pay my toll bills, make an appointment with Ford, and get a consolidation loan.
Okay, we got a lot to do.
Yeah, we got a lot to get done.
First thing first on the list, maybe come back with the meat to the program.
That's the first thing we should do.
Let's get her done.
Yeah.
All right, let's cut some meat. Mm-hmm.
Welcome back, witches, to the meat of the program. We're talking about unfinished business here. And our intro, we talked about lots of lists that we need to do and that we started and haven't finished and vice versa. And then in between times, we were talking about how satisfying is it when you do finish those things, like hang a picture that you've been looking at in the wrong place for a long time. But I want to talk about right now things that I wish I could have finished that other people fucked up, and that's specifically from TV shows.
Yes, good one.
Like really unsatisfying endings, if I could have a do-over on them. Like they didn't feel wrapped up in a bow, right? And I just think they messed them up. And my three specifically, the biggest ones, and you guys may feel the same way, but we can keep going, but Seinfeld, Game of Thrones, Dexter, notoriously bad endings. In fact, it inspired me to write this unwritten show with the Game of Thrones thing. The ending was so bad. I don't want to go into it too much with you guys because you haven't watched the show or you didn't watch the ending.
Was there no nudity?
There was almost zero doggy style situation.
At the end, good.
But after however many years, you get to know all of these characters, good, bad, ugly, gray, in the middle. And it just, so what happened, just to back you guys up, the writer, whatever, Martin, what was his name? Who knows?
Martin.
Anyway, old dude. He wrote all these wonderful books. They made a miniseries out of them. And they're like, here's your thing with your millions of dollars that we're giving you. You need to write, let's say he wrote four books that they were making the series on. You need to finish 5, 6, and 7. You know, we'll give you 7 years until the end of the show or whatever. And he never finished.
Oh.
So, and, you know, he did the prequel thing. He did some other things. I don't know what the hell he was up to. But in any case, he didn't finish. So the writers were kind of backed into a corner.
Did they get in trouble?
I don't know if they took away his birthday or his salary or whatever. But so anyway, they kind of had to guess based on everything that we had been given. And so anyway, the whole point of the whole show with everything is who is going to be the king of Westeros, this made-up fantasy place. Is it, you know, the crazy sexy dragon queen? Is it hot sexy Jon Snow? Is it the dwarf guy who's wickedly handsome and wise? Is it, you know, it could be all these different people have some sort of claim to the throne. The wicked queen?
Jason Momoa.
Any of them could have been. He was the horse king of the Dothraki and so sexy.
Good God.
Yeah. So in any case, what happens at the end is so ridiculous that the person who ends up being the ruler of all the kingdoms, when they got their last scripts, that person looked at it and said, oh, I bet this is a joke. Like when people say to all their kids, oh, you're my favorite kid.
Yes.
They're like, I bet they sent a script to everybody and said, you're the ruler.
That'd be hilarious.
And they're like, yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And they went and he's like, I'm not a spoiler. That person was like, what? And then everybody was like, what? And it wasn't like, well, that's cool. That's a fun spin. Everybody just felt betrayed and sad and maybe suicidal.
Whoa.
Don't do it.
Okay.
Don't do it.
Okay.
But did you remember the end of Dexter?
Yeah, that's on my list.
Yeah, talk about it.
Not only did I think that the, like, at least the last two seasons were just bad, all
trash.
In all. Well, and also, I mean, why'd you gotta? They had the whole, I'm going to fall in love with my brother. That was weird.
What?
And, yeah, and it's like,
Debbie.
Gross. Yeah, seriously.
Hey, Debbie.
Hey, Debbie.
Yeah.
I know I'm a killer.
Yeah, it's like, gross. Just killed. Yeah. And also, it was almost like they were like, okay, you guys, we got to wrap this up. We have... yeah. 2.5 seconds.
And cut.
And good. You're okay, done. Uh-huh. And it was just like, come on. Now, they did do a little sequel.
Yes. One. Did you watch it?
I did.
Yeah.
And it's good.
Oh.
And it leaves it open.
Well, now they're bringing Dexter back.
Yes.
Yeah, bring so maybe Dexter
they're
going to
bring it. They're going to bring it back as Christian Slater is playing Dexter's dad as a younger guy. Yes,
ooh.
I think. But they also left that other Dexter season open, like because his son Harrison was in it. Now he's older. And so like maybe he might take over the empire.
The family murdering
unfinished
business.
Unfinished business. Yes.
So, yeah. I mean, whether or not you don't really know who knows this and that. But I after that, it was like, okay, well, that's the ending it should have been.
Right.
But it took... 10 years or something?
Yes.
In order to get that. And so it was good. And it was a good... it had a really good serial killer plot.
I'm intrigued.
Which would have been weird. I was going to say twist and plot. So I said twat.
Yeah, twat. It's a twat. The one that we totally enjoyed for so, so long was Shameless.
Yes.
I love Shameless.
I never saw the end of it. Tell me what happened.
Even after Fiona left, it sucked, you know, but I think the show still had something going. It had a good storyline, kept going. But the ending was stupid.
Well, not only was the ending stupid, just the way, because like Frank like floated up
up into heaven, like,
and stuff, and,
he's going along all the places he hung out and stuff, and like, you know.
That sounds awesome.
No, it was dumb.
Did he finally die of alcoholism or alcohol-related issues?
Yeah, I think
so. Yeah, it was,
I don't know. I blocked it out. The problem was Shameless, not only was that dumb, but it was like... Again, it was like they told them at the last second, I don't think we're going to renew this.
Yeah.
So let's and they had too many plots that were
unresolved.
You had family members. Where did they go? Where did they go? Where did they? Because they brought them all into the story to where their lives were.
Yeah.
But where did they go?
Yeah.
Right. Like it was terrible. That had a kid and stuff. What happened to her?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Okay.
Yeah. But, I don't think that they even. Oh, she. Didn't she like fall in love with a girl?
Yeah. She. Yeah.
Yeah, and then the girl was like really bad for her. She was like, she was like a gangster member, and it was like, yeah, like nobody had like a happy ending.
Yeah,
you said gangster member.
I'm a gangster member.
I am a member of the gangster society.
I wore that jacket, members only.
I am a bad mofo.
Don't you mess with me. I'm a gangster member. I have my member card right here.
Lisa, you're just on the street. I'm sorry.
Oh my God.
I hate to tease you.
Can we agree on this one, though? Just to bring Lisa back a little bit. 6 Feet Under was the most complete show ever.
My mom and I are watching it again. It's so good.
Most complete show ever.
Start to finish.
That's the thing.
No gangster problems there either.
There was a couple.
Yeah.
It was good.
you guys, when my gangster members come after you, you're going to be mad. Michael C. Hall in the best ever show and the worst ever
show.
You're
right.
That's right. Yeah.
What diversity in that guy. Great actor.
You had said Seinfeld.
Yes.
That I had read, because I went online to see what other people were saying, and a lot of people said
there was
Seinfeld.
No gangsters.
I actually... In retrospect, don't think it was that bad.
Right.
I think at the time I was a little bit disappointed, but not being a Seinfeld fan.
She never liked it.
I think the fact that they all went to jail was just poetic justice.
Because they're all despicable.
Because they were. They were all disgusting and gross. And it was like, it's like Jerry.
A poo. Jerry. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's just a good Jerry.
Yeah.
Yeah. And for a show about nothing to kind of end with nothing. That makes sense.
I think that they probably overthought it and the audience wanted a little bit more. But it's like, okay.
You know what?
I don't know how they could have made that different.
I think you watched it too, but Breaking Bad kind of even when they brought El Camino back a little bit, you know, to try and bring the story back, I think that's another one they left wide open.
Well, they left it open for a purpose. They're going to, obviously, they left it open for Better Call Saul.
Better Call Saul, great show, yeah.
I thought Breaking Bad ended great, to where I thought it was, the El Camino was dumb.
Yeah, yeah.
And stuff, but Breaking Bad was great. Better Call Saul was probably one of the best endings of a series I've seen since...
Since Six Feet Under.
Six Feet Under. Another really bad one is Roseanne totally jumped the shark when they won the lotto and they had the new baby.
Yes.
Stop. Just stop before that all happened.
Right.
That was horrible.
We don't need another cousin Oliver.
Yeah, but, it was total baby cousin Oliver.
But do you guys remember this? Whatever happened to the Big Brother on Happy Days?
I don't remember there being a Big Brother.
Oh, no, he was only on for the first season.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, he went to college, Daryl.
Letha.
He ended up being on Married with Children.
No, you know, for real?
Yeah, he was the guy that was married to the next door neighbor.
No, that was
No, it was, I guarantee.
I will bet you.
Oh, let's do it.
I bet you a hot chewy.
No, there was two brothers.
You know you're just making shit
up. No, because I am a Happy Days fit.
No, there was the guy that was on Married with Children... was on Happy Days, but he did not play the brother.
The handsome one, Ted McMuckamung.
Yes, Ted McMuckamung.
Yeah. Love Boat and everything during that time, right?
Yes.
He did a lot.
Yeah. So, but he wasn't the
brother. Did he jump the shark?
Okay, so he just doesn't want to admit that he was wrong. But what did you say before that? I had a really, really
good... Oh, the Breaking Bad.
Breaking Bad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Nope, that wasn't it.
Damn
it! You went off the rails with the...
Better Call Saul, Happy Days.
Happy Days. Keep talking.
Older brother. Lisa, I know, and I don't know if it was yours too, Daryl, probably, since you watched TV together. Mm-hmm. Walking Dead, is that still going?
It's in three different series now.
Okay, it's all spin-offs.
Stopped, and then they spinned off.
Okay, spun
off?
They spanned.
You know what?
What?
I just remembered what I was going to say.
Okay.
Talk about it.
I think that Richie, the older brother,
yes,
became... a gangster member. And he was on the streets.
They got a subscription to a gang.
And you know, they and wore, he became a blood because he wore red.
Yeah.
But he was a red.
Sure.
They call him the ginger blood.
He's going to pop a cap in your ass.
He is.
But he shot hoops and said, I'm going to shoot some hoops at your ass.
Yeah. Okay. So then, so The Walking Dead, I thought also ended great. It gave me a sense of closure.
Satisfaction.
I would love to watch the spinoffs because I loved the show so much. It was my favorite show ever. But I don't want to pay for another subscription. You have to have AMC Plus.
Oh.
And that's just...
Yeah.
So many subscriptions.
I have one more bad show. I think that the ending was okay, mm-hmm. but the show was so hard to get through the whole thing. It was like, why did we even do this? Was the True Detective season 4 with Jodie Foster.
Oh my gosh. I don't think I watched any past season 1.
Season 1 was first great. One was
those fantastic. Are great. But yeah, we muscled through the Jodie Foster one.
That's disappointing.
And I think that also disappointing was how I think she's freaking phenomenal.
Of course.
And her acting was
horrible. It was B-list acting.
Was it bad writing? She just was phoning it in.
Doesn't seem like she was connected with the character.
The character. It was so... I don't know. I just couldn't. It was horrible.
Yeah, we
and
definitely.
The storyline, it could have been good, but it went on for too long and dragged and dragged. It was
yuck.
Like, we have to get through this. And then after it was done, it was like, why, God, did you make
Why? Thank you for saving me the time.
We screamed for our lives back.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I know this isn't in the script. Most satisfying ending of a show that I've seen lately is Dead to Me. It was really, really good. Listeners, if you want to, you should watch it. It's very sweet.
It's actually very good.
Yeah.
It did also leave it open for, I was hoping that Christina Applegate would get better.
I know,
so
God.
That it could be another
that
season.
That was a great show.
I don't know if she will, but it left it open to possibly do it. But if not, you're okay with where
you know which one I was really disappointed with was the one that Drew Barrymore did. Where she was eating people.
Oh, yeah. Santa Clarita Diet.
They just canceled it. And so it left it just.
But that was a great,
so
that was a great
yeah,
show.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah.
And the kid got in it. The daughter's like, oh, you're eating people? No,
that's
it was
right.
great. I loved it. I loved anything Drew Barrymore does. I just love her. I just want to stick her in my pocket.
As far as finales go, I think that I hated it so much that not even hated it. It was so disappointing was the Gilmore Girls, especially after how good the whole thing was. Mm-hmm. And then they did four show spin, not spinoffs, but it was like four seasons in the like 20 years later or whatever.
Oh, did
That's
they?
Interesting.
Yeah, and I've only watched two seasons because those were all bad.
Oh, man.
And it's like when I was so excited to watch every single show, and now it's like I can't, it's taken me like 2 years to get through the four seasons. Mm. And I've only got two seasons and it's done.
We'll have to do a Utopia show where everybody does the whole thing right. Like a whole season, a whole series, a whole album, a whole career. Well, Utopia.
That's a really good idea.
Oh, yeah.
I'm really smart. I'm going to write it down.
Do it. The only thing I could think of that might hit that criteria Tour. Without thinking, like with that on the top of my head, might be Six Feet Under.
Yeah.
The only problem with that is they did that one musical episode that was like, what is even happening?
Oh, no. That was crazy. But then again, the writers were genius.
Yeah. Really?
They could get away with it.
Absolutely. It was a little surreal. Mm-hmm. They all had good voices and could dance
just
and whatever.
Silly.
Yeah, but I mean, okay. I think if you worked in a mortuary, you might want to cut loose a little.
The next one's going to be Dexter on Ice. Slice.
I would pay to see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, any streaming service, bring it on.
Yeah, there you go.
Do you have any unanswered or unfinished or unsatisfying life scenarios? Like if you could finish something or even go back and tell somebody off or have a situation where you had to do over it?
I think my biggest one is, and this is going to be kind of crazy, but in my heart and soul, I wish I could have saved my best friend's life.
Of course.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
If I could, you know.
You couldn't go back and do it because it wouldn't help.
Yeah.
It would have still been the same outcome.
Yeah. But so, I think that's one of my biggest ones.
Yeah. Well, I get that. But I just hope that you know that there was nothing you could have done.
I think. You know that, right? But I mean, we're just talking ideally if we could change a scenario.
Yeah. Because, I mean, he would be digging this, and he would laugh at us like, "You guys are so gay." I listen to you. You guys are so stupid. Yeah. You know, but he would have seriously. I think everything that me and Lisa have achieved. He was a big fan of mine and Lisa's relationship.
Yeah,
and I mean, he always would tell me, "I wish I could capture what you and Lisa have."
That's so
and
nice. Stuff.
And so just to everything to would have been great.
Well, if we're gonna go down that hole, I didn't even write this down, but I think that our listeners know about our friend Colleen. She passed when she was 42. She was diagnosed with cancer in May and died October 5th of the same year. And it was strange because her tumor of origin was in her ovary's uterus. And then the one that eventually killed her was basically wrapped around her intestines. She couldn't process solid food. And so, in short, she, at the end, starved it out.
Starved it, yeah.
And when I look back, it's like, yeah, I've forgiven and got over the people that didn't catch it earlier because she was very conscientious of her health in so many ways. And that happens. You can't catch everything. But I just have so many questions. It's like, well, okay, why didn't we take out her uterus? She's 42 years old. She didn't want to have kids. Why didn't we? They're like, oh, it's too risky to do that. The tumor. It's riskier to starve to death too, I think.
Yeah.
So it's like unanswered questions. I don't know why those decisions were made.
Right.
I don't know if she signed something. Maybe that was just like this is the easiest, most graceful way to go because she was such a graceful person.
Yeah.
But it just seemed like, I don't know. Why weren't those options on the table?
Right.
Do you ever think about that?
I thought about it at the time.
Yeah.
I remember telling you when she sent us that letter saying that, she, you know, this is what's happening. This is what's going on. It's very aggressive, you know, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
I remember calling you and I was like, you know, did you read this?
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah. And I was like, so uterine cancer, right? Like, you pluck out the uterus, it's gone. I mean, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And you're like, I think it's a little bit more involved in that. And I go, it seems simple to me.
Right.
Why, you know, again,
well, yeah,
she's
why are we
42
holding
years
on to
old.
Yeah.
She doesn't want kids. She doesn't, you know, or even if she did, who cares?
Exactly.
Pluck it
Let's
out,
save her
take
life.
It out. Yes. Yeah. And they were like, well, we're going to go with chemo first. Chemo didn't work. Radiation didn't work. Whatever. I mean, I guess that's why you have a team. That's why you have, you know, with doctors and everything, you just hope that they know everything, and they really don't.
No.
And so I've noticed that a lot more I mean, I know, and this is getting kind of deep, but I know that watching what happened to Colleen and watching what happened to my sister and all of that stuff, I saw it. Mm-hmm. But firsthand, watching the stuff that's been happening with me, mm-hmm. really realizing that the right hand doesn't know what the left hand's doing, mm-hmm. and that my life is in your hands, but also that everybody's life is in your hands and you have a lot on your plate, yes. Mr. Doctor, you know, or whatever.
Or Mrs.
Or Mrs.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the thing is that's why you get paid the big bucks. That's why you got all this medical training,
right.
and stuff. At least don't tell me that, you know, this is above my pay grade. Call somebody else.
Right.
I mean, it's just so frustrating. I was never in that situation myself, whereas now I'm in that situation, mm-hmm. and stuff. So, yeah, I mean, and I answer questions all the time.
Right.
You know, and stuff. And yeah, I, you know, even talking to Stanford, which was Colleen's husband, is her widow, mm. and stuff, I said, aren't you mad at those doctors that didn't catch it sooner? Because she had been complaining for 3 months mm-hmm. that something was wrong, and everybody kept saying, well, it's your IUD, or it's this, or it's mm-hmm. that, and stuff. And if they could have caught it the 3 months earlier, mm-hmm. then all of that stuff wouldn't happen.
Maybe in a
different
position,
and he's like, what is it going to do me any good to be mad? Yeah. And I understand that, but sometimes it's like, I just want to be mad and punch a wall,
right,
you know? And
right.
then throw a dish at a wall and, you know, and then I'll stop at some point.
Right.
But yeah, and still mad. And it is what it is. It's
just, I don't know what the answer is.
No.
You know, again, like we were talking in the last episode, not all cops, not all teachers, not all whatever.
Right.
We don't try to stereotype groups of people here because,
no.
you know, based by the content of your character. Got it.
Yeah.
Anyway, what is so amazing to me and why I would never be a doctor basher is what's happening with my mom right now and genetic research and all the money and time that they put into treating her in such a customized way. And, you know, she should have been dead in February, and here it is September, and she's trucking along doing just
nice.
Fine with undetectable bone cancer or leukemia, bone marrow cancer. It's gone. And, you know, we're doing maintenance and it's still things, and she's not running marathons or anything like that. But they gave her that extra time, and I'm so grateful. And between, you know, 11 years ago or whatever it was with Colleen Steele and my mom, was it research? Is it give a shit? Is it whatever? Again, it's unanswered questions.
Right. And I think that it's a little bit of all of that.
Yeah.
Because
they didn't know. I don't think anybody was trying to hurt her.
Exactly.
And I think that there's a little bit, like with your mom, it's like a little bit more give a shit.
Yeah.
And stuff. Not that they didn't care about Colleen, because first of all, she worked at the fucking hospital that was,
exactly.
you know,
she
so
was
she was diagnosed
a young, healthy woman.
Right. But think of all the people that, like, well, she's 80. She can't have that surgery.
Well, no, that's yeah.
She shouldn't have that procedure.
Uh-huh.
She, you know, let's just let them go comfortably. And I think that the doctors are more, especially, like, aware of the fact that 80 is the new 60 or whatever.
Right. And if you want to fight, let's fight.
Yeah.
And yeah, so no, that's the thing.
When, you know, well, we can't do a hip replacement because they're 80 and we
right.
can't do this. You know, it's like, well, okay, we'll let them be in pain for, you know, whatever.
Right.
I think they're trying a little harder on that.
I agree.
And
there's a quality of life issue and stuff and more autonomy where they can make choices. It's just like, do you want to keep up this maintenance chemo or do you just want to stop doing it?
Right.
You know, and come and see us in 6 months. You do whatever you want.
Right.
And she's like, hey, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. You guys fix me.
Yeah.
And she got to go to a matinee at a theater today. She was on oxygen.
No, that's awesome.
But she enjoyed the shit out of it. And, you know, she's living
thing.
Her life.
Yeah.
A little oxygen. Got to take that. Okay.
Yeah. So that was one of my unanswered questions. It's just like, well, what the hell? Why didn't they? I'll never know.
Yeah. Well, no. Yeah. And it never will be answered.
Yeah, why don't you just take out the cancer? Well, because it might kill her. She's going to die anyway.
Right? Yeah.
Jesus, let's take the chance.
Yeah.
Let's take the chance.
A little less depressing, but on that lines, if I may.
Yeah. Well, just really fast.
Yes.
If memory serves, and we'll probably have to ask Stanford about this.
Yeah.
But I think that by the time they caught it, and again, they should have caught it earlier,
the
cancer had already traveled up her spine and was going towards
her
brain. They knew that they could have taken out her uterus, but she still had the cancer in her spine and
right
stuff
and
like
she
that.
Might be paralyzed
and
or this out of the other
that up and
I
but
believe
I
your
reason
much
I think
better.
That one night we were talking to her and she had said that and then she was mad about that. She goes, you know, I've been dealing with this, but it got away from
her.
And what sucks, but no, I tell you what, there was nobody stronger than her
And so gracious and so and, beautiful you know, and worried and not, about everybody else's feelings.
And not afraid of death.
No.
She was not afraid to die. I mean, that was the bravest woman I ever met, man.
The last time that we went out on a... this is just, it's a fun, let's stop on a funny story we'll start, or whatever. Yeah. But the last time that we went out that was kind of social, I remember that she was going back and forth. It was something that was going on with Blake Street. She finally decided that she was going to go. Didn't feel great, but she was still looking pretty good. Mm-hmm. And I remember I was like, God damn, Lisa, I had the worst day today. And she's like, oh, what's wrong? And I was like, I found out I have gingivitis. And Steph, she's like, oh, God. And Steph, I was like...
but that's her. She cured.
My teeth and gums, bleeding gums and stuff. And I like look back at that like she was probably just looking at me like, you dumb bitch.
Yeah.
And
never she still is.
Well, there's that. And stuff. But I still, because I really swear to God, even at that point...
She thought she was going to live.
Gonna be,
oh, no. I was like,
that's the pussy cancer, dude. You're not pussy cancer, like, which it was. It was a uterus.
Yeah. Lady
like,
cancer.
Oh,
no. I meant like, that's lady a wuss cancer.
Yeah, that doesn't take anybody out. Yeah, that doesn't take anybody out.
It's not like, you know, bone or leukemia. You'll be fine.
Yeah, no, I think
if you're going to get cancer, it might as well be that.
I do. I think all of us were in that same denial. Like, you know, we just thought, there's nothing that could beat this gal.
Yeah, but gingivitis is bad.
Yeah, and thank God you got that taken care of.
I know.
Scandals. Treatable. We're funny.
Are we all good?
I have one more thing.
Yeah.
But also a little deep, but not as deep. Uh-huh. And maybe I should say this, maybe I shouldn't, but I'm going to.
Okay.
So an unfinished business, unanswered question sort of thing, which you can't go back or fix. I do not want to say anything disrespectful to anybody who is in my life who made me the person that I am today. And it's working out great and I'm having a lovely time. But I do wonder if I had met Brian when I was younger and we would have had a boatload of kids. I think that would have been kind of awesome.
Aww.
Just because I think he's such a cute dad. Mm-hmm. And I mean, sometimes he's a dad to me when I'm drunk. He's like taking care of me. And it's like, okay, open up. You need to eat. Brrr, doing the airplane in my mouth with fish and chips.
Yeah.
Or whatever. I just think he's a lovely, lovely person. And it would be interesting to see if there was another ending out there somewhere.
Right.
Yep. Well,
why don't you? You should adopt a little baby.
Yeah.
Get you a little Santa.
A little
Santa. I don't want it.
No, that's funny. I said this.
I want to adopt a grandchild.
Okay. I said the same thing to Patty one time. I said, "Gosh, you know," I said, "I just really wish I would have met Lisa sooner."
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, "No, it wouldn't have worked."
And it wouldn't have. And I know all of that logically.
She goes,
and
you guys met each other at the right time. She goes, it wouldn't have worked, honey. And I'm like, okay, well, cool.
But she wouldn't have appreciated you, and you wouldn't have appreciated you. You had to kiss your frogs, and you had to do the things.
Yeah.
Yeah. But still.
You kissed frogs?
Mm-hmm. There's so many frogs on this show. And join us for Amphibian Corner.
Perfect.
Are we having frog porn later?
Frog porn and Amphibian Corner coming up on the next segment of What You Talking About.
Alrighty, we'll be right back.
This segment is called Witcha Talking About. That's witch with W-I-T-C-H
cha.
And it's C-H-A. Witcha. That is from Gangsta Members.
Yep, I was going to say, you got that from your Gangsta Member talk.
A member of a gangster group.
The Gangsta Members call it Witcha Talking About. Daryl, our blood type gangsta member is gonna start.
I is. Okay. So, guys, I overdid it the other day. Mm-hmm. This, you know, Labor Day, I did everything you're supposed to do on Labor Day.
You labored.
I labored. I did. I labored. I mowed front, back grass. I power washed the house. I'm going to sing a little song like this. Okay. I power washed the house. I mowed the lawns. And I cut the pompous grass down to a nice place where it's not attacking Lisa's other plants.
And you chop some
but
wood.
One thing I didn't do, I didn't apply my sunblock.
Oh, you
like
bastard.
Like my doctor always tells me to do. Got to apply your sunblock. And I didn't wear a hat. Because I don't have much hair on the top of my head anymore.
Does your doctor really tell you to wear sunscreen?
Yeah, mm-hmm. All the time.
And a hat.
And why don't you?
Because I'm a dipshit. And by the time I get to doing these certain little chores and stuff, well, then my buddy Bud, you know, he's in my drinking my beers. But the odd thing about it was I've always been like any type of weekend, you know, Labor Day, Memorial Day, any other kind of day, I'm having a good time. You guys see me.
Friday.
You guys see me. I'm up till 2, 3 in the morning. I beat myself to shit so bad that I was in bed by 9 o'clock a couple nights in a row on Saturday night. Bed by 9.
Shelly style.
I was in bed by 9.
All right.
But I'm just, my which is about this is, listen to what your doctor says. Do the sunblock. Wear a hat. I need to find a good, sensible hat is what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
You're at the age where a sensible everything is a good idea.
Exactly. Got sensible shoes, a sensible hat. But, yeah. I mean,
I've also heard, I don't mean to step on
your No, you're coat, fine.
But I've heard that when you don't wear sunscreen and hats, 2 days later, you get really mad about hamburger questions.
I believe it.
Yeah. I just heard that. It's on the interweb.
Yep. It's a symptom.
I would follow that advice. Yeah. You get hamburger mean.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But guys, yeah, put some sunblock on.
That's right. You want to keep this hot wife of yours. You don't want to go prematurely aging yourself.
That's right. Exactly. But that's which I'm talking about.
Yeah. All right.
Lisa, there you go.
Who's going? Shall you go?
Shall you go?
I do. I'm really excited about this, which you're talking about. And it will be 2 years in a row that I'm talking about cows. Last week there was the animals that are best friends. Cows always have a preferred partner.
Did you say 2 years in a row?
You did.
I didn't mean to.
Yeah.
But it's more fun when I make fun of you guys, so let's just let it slide.
Shelly is a cryptic gangster member.
She's in the gangster crypts. Group that I belong to.
Yeah.
And also, Boston, local Channel 10, a bovine escape artist is in need of a new, presumably very secure home after evading capture in Boston's woods for 2 months. The Hereford steer, who was finally captured last week after being reported missing in the city's Roslindale neighborhood on June 22nd, has been named Blank, the MSPCA said Thursday, as it put out a search for someone with experience raising cattle to adopt the animal. I saved the name for last because it's so fucking precious.
Okay. His name was Blank?
No.
Okay.
This cow, the steer, escaped capture. Nobody knew where it was for 2 weeks. So they named him Moodini.
Oh, no. I love it.
That's amazing.
Now, Moodini is living at the animal welfare group's Nevins Farm facility. He's healthy, if a little thin, which isn't surprising considering he's been living in the woods in Boston for weeks. Did you guys know Boston had woods?
No.
Me either.
I've never been there.
Yeah, Boston.
But Moodini is a little skeptical of humans right now, which makes sense given that he's been living feral in the woods for months. But we know that he'll open up and be a great addition to the Wright family, and we want to find them now so he's able to start his new life as soon as he's ready. Moodini.
Adorbs.
Thanks.
That's Moodini. Awesome.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's great.
You should just continue to talk about that. That's so awesome.
I will.
Mine is from August 24th. And I cut out what news source it's from. So you're just going to have to find that on your own.
Mm-hmm.
But the title is, Hundreds Cruise Philadelphia Street in the 15th Annual Philly Naked Bike Ride.
What?
Philadelphia, AP. Hundreds of people in the various states of undress cruise the streets of Philadelphia to choose from. I'm sorry. Okay.
But you said Philadelphia?
Yeah, you on your way?
Isn't that the city of freedom? So, hey.
It seems like it would be very flattering.
What better place to be naked? Let's go. Get to the story leak. Let's go.
Hundreds of people in various states of undressed cruise the streets of Philadelphia to cheers from onlookers Saturday evening in the 15th annual Naked Bike Ride. The annual ride, which started in 2009, is billed as promoting cycling. Oh yeah, that's what it's promoting, as a key form of transportation and fuel conscious consumption. You just might ride your bike to go get gas for your
shell.
Yeah, that'd be so much better.
Drop the trowel and just run them out.
Yeah, nobody will notice.
No wind resistance.
Right. It is also meant to encourage body positivity. Organizers stress, however, that participants aren't required to ride completely in the buff, telling them to get as bare as you dare.
Ooh,
do they require a helmet?
That would be awesome.
I haven't got that far yet. Well, let's see. Here's the thing. Banana seats. Am I right?
Am I right?
Do they have a muff buffer?
Okay, there's more. Organizers said the ride wasn't limited to only bicycles and welcome all forms of human-powered transportation, such as rollerblades, skates, skateboards, and scooters.
No.
They ow, my knees. If you fall on your rollerblades, they also point to a code of conduct that bears any kind of physical or sexual harassment.
Oh, okay.
What about looking up and down and up and down?
Did you see what she wasn't wearing? Right.
Why do you have mirrored glasses on?
The course changes each year, but generally highlights city landmarks. This year, the riders assembled in the city's large Fairmont Park, and some getting themselves adorned with body paint before starting the 12-mile route down the Benjamin Franklin Parkway, past Historic City Hall to Tony Rittenton's Square. Who's Tony Rittenton? And why isn't it
look up
capitalized? That makes me mad. This is a story. You should use proper capitalization.
Come on, guys.
And then to South Philadelphia before heading back north around the U.S. Mint and ending in West Philadelphia Park near Drexel University. The ride used to be held in September. Now remember, this was August. Often the temperature's around 60 degrees Fahrenheit, but enough of the naked riders mentioned the feeling chilly.
Shrinkage.
Shrinkage. That it was moved to August several years ago. The 2020 ride was called off because of the pandemic.
Can I just say one thing here?
You can.
Sunblock, right?
Sunblock, am I right?
Banana seats.
Also, what? Somebody said, hey, nice crack. And they're like, no way. And he's like, the Liberty Bell.
He's like, in the sidewalk, silly.
And then there's a guy running around, yo, Adrian, do you see that?
My eyes are right here. Yeah.
And naked bike ride.
Yeah, that's it.
Nice.
Thank you.
We will be back with the wow.
Oh, goody.
Now, ladies, it's time for the Cosmic Seeker of Love. He's more than just a mule, and he ain't no sloppy Joe. Oh, yeah, he's the man witch. Oh, yeah.
Wow, 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 wow. We're back with the wow. And we're here to interwell you. Interwell you. Yes.
That sounded so sexual.
Yeah. I thought it sounded.
That's right. We're here to interwell you. I'm a gangster member with a gangster wow.
To like get into the gang, they haze you by being on a podcast.
No. Oh,
goodness. Well, that's cool. Well, this is our wow segment, guys. And who would like to wow us first today?
Not it.
Okay.
Wow.
My well or well of wisdom is always true crime. And true crime rule number 38 is don't believe everything you read, even if it's categorized as, you know, non-fictional true crime. So I don't know if you guys ever read the first, I think, really famous true crime book written by Truman Capote in Cold Blood. Like very, very famous, banned in some places. And it was about the murder of the Hole Clutter family in Kansas, Holcomb, Kansas, I believe. And as it turns out, decades after he wrote it, they found some of his... it wasn't all true.
Okay.
It was sensationalized a little. You know, some of the things couldn't have been proven. Mm-hmm. It is very, very well written. He claimed all of it to be absolute true evidence and whatever, and just from witnesses and confessions and all this other things. It, the whole thing is a horrible, terrible story, and the fact of the matter is the family is still dead. But a couple of drifters were going to their house out in the middle of the country in 1959, I think, to go and rob their safe that supposedly had $10,000 in it. This wheat farmer supposedly had a bunch of money, and they had heard this from somebody they were in jail with. The guy that was in jail had never been to their house, had drawn them a map of a safe that didn't exist, and the family died horribly, and it's a terrible, terrible, tragic story. But I think if it were to be believed, Truman Capote kind of framed it as more of a sensational writing style to give himself attention.
Okay.
And there is something that I want to watch. I think it's on Showtime or something nowadays. But he was best friends with Harper Lee, who wrote To Kill a Mockingbird. And he was more of a Southern socialite that ended up in New York City. And anyway, I don't think he told that great of a story in Aftermath. The second one that is an absolutely fabulously told story that I don't know if you guys have read, but you'd love reading it, is it's called Devil in the White City. And it's about H.H. Holmes, I believe. And he was the guy in Chicago at the turn of the century who, at that time, they were doing a World's Fair in Chicago, and they invented the first Ferris wheel. So people were coming from all over the world, and it was monstrously huge, this Ferris wheel, probably bigger than most of the ones we have now because it was almost non-functional. It was so enormous.
Mm.
But there was electric lights and all this stuff, so they called it the White City, and the whole world is seeing, you know, because they didn't have the internet or even, I don't know if they had telephones or anything, but people came from all over to see the spectacle of this beautiful white city with all these lights and the Ferris wheel and stuff. Meanwhile, while all of this is happening, H.H. Holmes has a hotel nearby for all of the tourists to stay while the World's Fair is happening. And according to the book by Eric something or the other that I forgot to write down, really well written and everything, but largely fictionalized. So he supposedly, H.H. Holmes, had this big hotel that had drop chutes, rooms with no windows, rooms that were incinerators, torture rooms, et cetera, et cetera.
Oh, wow.
And all of these people, you know, never left. So he was a doctor, supposedly, doctor with air quotes, and performed, you know, at the time, illegal abortions and all sorts of things. So anyway, they basically called it a murder house. We don't know how much of that is actually true because there wasn't very good documentation at the time. It's a great read. I'm just saying, go forward with maybe just question a thing or two.
I wonder if the Eagles used any of that influence for Hotel California.
You can go in, but you can never leave. Yeah, yeah. I mean, maybe it was truly terrifying.
But yeah, that would, wow.
My question is that if you were friends or you had like a relationship with him, did you say, hey?
Is the HH short for ha?
It's like, excuse me, I need to talk to you.
Well, as a really stabby, murdery guy that wanted to stay under the radar,
yeah.
I don't actually even think that was his real name.
Oh,
yes, but
okay, well, that's
I'll do more Dr. research. My point is to yeah. just go into things with open eyes. Okay. It's always good yeah. to question everything. So two really great stories, not entirely accurate.
Okay, that sounds great.
I'm going to have you go next because okay. mine's kind of long.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to talk. My wow is my well of wisdom is about animals. And I wanted to talk about my new obsession. I've been watching this reel for quite some time, but lately I've been like obsessed with it where I can't stop. So the name of the reel, the person, the influencer is the Asher House, and it is an animal sanctuary. And the guy who runs it is a guy named Lee Asher. He is incredibly handsome, very, very hairy, and which what? Usually, oh my goodness gracious sakes alive, I just want to lick every hair on his little body that's not little because he's very, very muscular.
I gotta take a look at this guy.
He is very handsome, and I think what makes him handsomer is his love for, he loves dogs so much, it's ridiculous, and it's almost, it's really funny because he's such a huge, he stopped his job, he bought this sanctuary, decided to start going to rescues and rescuing the dogs that were going to get euthanized right away. Mm-hmm. And then he would, you know, take care of them and put them up for adoption. Well, he got so famous on his reels, TikToks, YouTube channel, all the things. He now has a 240 acre refuge, wow, sanctuary.
Way to go, have, Chewbacca.
Right. I say he is very hairy. He's hair for days.
Did you say way to go, Chewbacca?
Yeah. but he has a cat room that has like 30 cats in there at any given time. He has a whole staff who feeds the animals. He has a staff for just medicine. He has like a whole veterinary clinic. He has llamas and cows, and he's getting all the goats, and he's just rescuing everything.
So it's just not even dogs. It's not pretty dogs much any anymore. Kind of thing. Well, no, yeah, he's got all that land.
Right.
Yeah.
But he has you never really know, but there's about 150 to 200 dogs now.
Wow.
But the thing that's crazy about the whole thing is that they all get along. Like, there's no, he has a way, like, he's so good because he's like, I'm going to, like, every week, he's like, today's rescue day. And he goes to a different.
Oh, I've seen this guy. He's got, yeah, a van, and he'll have other dogs that want to come along, yes, to meet the new dog.
Yeah. Yeah. And so he's, and he goes, like,
come on.
No, he does. That was his Chewbacca voice. So he'll, like, he'll have dogs already in the car, mm-hmm, and then he goes to get some of the other dogs, and it's so funny because he goes like to get one or two dogs, comes out with like five.
Yeah.
And he's always like, I'm going to keep this one. And it's like, okay, I think you might be a little bit of a dog hoarder. Like, because he's like, it just cracks me up because he's like, oh my God, oh my, like, I've never had a Shar Pei before. This is the cutest dog ever. Oh my God, I'm keeping this one. And like, he has a bed, like one of those.
Well, like, he's got like, that are like three of his main favorite dogs. Yes. And he calls them like they're, when they have,
I think he says a pack. Dog. The pack. Yeah, no, he calls it the pack.
Yeah.
And then when he brings a new dog into the pack, he first quarantines the dog, makes sure that they're not sick, this and that and stuff, and then introduces them to the whole pack. But he'll take all 150 to 200 on a walk, and they just walk, and it's hilarious,
yeah,
because every breed of dog you can think of, and then all of a sudden there's this like little chihuahua. It just, because I'm like, oh my God, you know, and stuff. And he has like a river that goes through his property, and they all go into the river and drink, and they all get along, and it's just beautiful, and I want to live and work there.
I have two questions.
Yeah.
I forgot the first question. The second question is, maybe could you remember where people could go to donate to that? I don't think, is he independently wealthy, or no, how does he afford to do that?
He definitely makes money by all the clicks he gets from social media.
Okay.
He is a ambassador of Embark.
Nice. Yeah,
yeah. He does different, like the farmer's dog and different things that.
Perfect.
I'm sure that a lot of those people, he said on one of his, I just watched this one TikTok that just showed the whole property, which was very interesting. It wasn't a TikTok, it was real. Doesn't matter, it's all the same. But it showed the whole property, and it went through like a tour. And he said that they spend $100,000 a month on just food for the horses.
Yeah, wow.
Just for the horses.
I believe it.
And so they obviously do need sponsors or whatever. Donations and all that. But he does make money from his, because they have so many followers on all the
wonderful
socials. But he's just, he's really fun to watch. Mm-hmm. He's very, very full of positivity, and has a very, it was funny because I was telling our friend Carol Donahue, who's one of our Patreon members, about it, because she's such a animal rescuer and she'd never heard of it. And she like wrote me back, and she's like, life goals and stuff. And I was like, yeah, totally. Yeah. And she's like, and not hard to look at the dogs or anything else. And it's just, I don't know. Definitely not somebody I would have been attracted to if he didn't love dogs as much.
Right. That's very sexy for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because he's just so, so adorable. And I just want to just love sheep.
What's his name again?
Lee Asher, and it's the Asher House.
Okay.
A-S-H-E-R.
He calls him the pack.
Yeah.
But he's got these three main dogs.
He had, one was a St. Bernard, and she recently passed away.
I think he's got a black lab and something else. But they do, they come along, and he's like, let's go get the new family member.
Yeah.
And the dogs are excited to go.
Well, and that's the thing, too. Like, when he goes to get the rescues, he doesn't even, like, put him in crates or anything. Nope. He just throws him in
right
this
there, and it, like, yeah. get along.
Yeah.
They probably all know they're going to a better place.
I think
you know?
So. Yeah. He doesn't usually, he has this one new one that I was like, I know that she would be hard, and I'm probably sure that she'll probably stay at the sanctuary, but I think her name is Molly, and she has, like, this trembling syndrome, so when she walks, she just, like...
She jiggles
and stuff, but she's so fucking happy.
Well, and then, like I said, there's one dog that watches Molly, takes care of Molly because she knows it's special needs, and there's one dog... It's so weird how he's got these... It's fabulous. Yeah. I'm glad you brought that story up.
I just love him.
That is a great story.
Sit there and watch it all... It's like... Daryl will be like, I thought you were going to bed. I'm like 6 hours into the Asher House.
I'm watching Chewbacca and the boys. Yeah.
So anyways, if you guys want something fun to watch.
It's so cool.
He gets money just by clicks. So
I love it.
Yeah, yeah. Watch the Asher House or donate.
Lisa does animals.
Yeah.
That was a-
I sure do.
That was a great one, honey.
Yay.
Alrighty, guys. Well, my wow is always about music and stuff. So I went back and looked at, I didn't go back. I looked up some stuff today. And what happened, September 4th? You know, let's have some history.
Okay. September
4th, 1954.
Okay.
Ooh.
Elvis Presley made his first appearance at the Grand Ole Opry.
Oh.
Cool, huh?
So cool.
You never really think of Elvis as a country person.
No.
But he totally was.
That was his love.
Gospel and blues.
Gospel and blues was his love, yeah. 1962, the Beatles had their first formal recording at EMI's Abbey Road.
Hey.
The first time they ever recorded at Abbey Road. And the cool thing was, it was Ringo Starr's first session ever playing with the Beatles.
Oh, I have a Ringo story when you're done.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
1971, we're going to stick with some Beatles stuff, but it's Paul McCartney and Linda McCartney had topped the Billboard 100 with Uncle Albert.
Oh, I don't know if I remember that one. Would we know if
we
heard it?
Uncle Albert. Yeah.
He just...
That
Uncle
clears it
up. Albert is my uncle. And I'm a Beatle, but now I got a
You'd know the song once you heard.
Okay.
But 1976.
You can call me Al.
Oh, I love him. 1976, the Bee Gees top 100 charts. Yeah, you should be dancing.
I love the Bee Gees.
And 1982, Steve Miller Band topped the Billboard with... Abracadabra, I wanna reach out and grab you.
Abracadabra.
So on this site that I pulled all this up, that was it. I'm like, so from 1982 till now, nothing good has happened on September 4th music-wise.
That might actually make sense.
I was going to throw this on a side note. I did a little extra credit here.
Okay.
And it kind of was funny because Shelley was talking about spices.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Today is Spice Blend Day.
Oh.
So cool.
Oh my God, we're like witch mates.
It's also, this doesn't even have, it's not even relevant anymore. It's newspaper carrier day. Do we even have newspaper carrier guys anymore?
Not since they got kidnapped off the streets by
since that damn internet. Internet killed the newspaper guys.
Okay.
And it's National Wildlife Day.
Okay.
I think if you want to buy a newspaper, you can at a newspaper stand. Are there newspaper stands?
I just don't think they throw them to your...
I agree.
That was fun. I mean, I was a newspaper guy. You guys...
There hasn't been Rocky Mountain News in a while, I don't think.
No.
But I think you could get I'm going to make up a newspaper name.
Like Denver Post, there's not that either.
Yeah,
right?
There is. Yeah, you can still get a Denver Post.
You can
Post.
Get a Post, but not the Rocky Mountain News. The Rocky Mountain News, the Denver Post bought the Rocky Mountain News.
Is that what
combined.
Happened?
Yeah. But yeah, but I used to be a paper boy.
What happened to Richie Cunningham's older brother?
He went to college. But
not every newspaper carrier knows all the news.
I just kind of wanted to end with the... And that's the news on September 4th today.
Well, thanks. That was fine journalism.
Yeah, it was.
Thank you for your musical history.
Nothing has happened on September 4th from 1982 till now?
No, that is odd.
That's because Puff Daddy was delivering gasoline.
Paper. Yes.
Yeah, with so, Chewbacca.
Yeah, everything went dark.
God, I have a Beatles question. Yeah.
Okay.
While we're talking about music.
Hello.
I know. This will be interesting because Daryl hates him and Lisa's indifferent, yeah. I think. So I was asking my mom today because we always listen to 8:10 a.m. Legends. And I was like, who is your favorite Beatle? And she's like, well, I thought Paul was too cute. Like, I don't know. Like, maybe she thought he was too good for her or something. Or he had too many other options.
Yeah.
But, and she's like, well, George and John, they're kind of hippies. And I wasn't really into that, you know, as farm girl and all that other stuff. She's like, I really liked Ringo. He was quirky. He was fun. He was a guy next door. You'd have a good time with him. You could be friends. Maybe get past the nose and give him a smooch or yeah. whatever. But who's your favorite Beatle?
I would definitely go with her.
With Ringo? Yeah.
Ringo.
I think I'd be a Ringo gal too.
I think so too.
Yeah.
The other one's got more publicity.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
He was more down to earth, I think. Ringo was just the guy that, you know, I'm a fuck up.
Yeah.
You let me in the Beatles. I am. He was kind of more of a rebel to where George Harrison kind of went weird. He became, you know, when he did his Hare Krishna song.
Yeah, yeah,
he
got, he
went a weird way. God bless John Lennon. You know, I'm not a big Beatles fan, but the guy didn't deserve to die the way
he
died.
He wrote some amazing songs,
too. He was seriously an amazing person.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, but, you know, I think Ringo, because he was more of the, I think Ringo would have fit in with the Stones better.
Yeah, a little rip and tumble, a little bit.
Hey,
yeah.
Sounds good.
But they had,
and Stones he was
had
in
great,
the movie Caveman.
Yeah. Yeah, and he was married to
Barbara Bach.
Still is, as far as I know.
Is he?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
Wow. Your mom's got good taste.
Yeah, there you go. Ringo.
And that was our wow.
Yeah.
Lisa, do you have any notes? Like, what are we looking forward to here?
You know, we have that show coming up that we're going to be on. Robbie and Ellen Solve the Case. If you haven't already downloaded it, just for $1, you can listen to us. We are at the $1 level. You will... get to listen to us on September 26th. It should be riveting. And you might find a new great podcast. Just don't overlook ours.
And if you're wondering why their Patreon's so cheap for a buck, they have 170,000 people that listen to them.
A month.
Not
a year, sorry. Not a
crazy pants.
Yeah.
A month.
And it's called Ellen and Robbie Solve the Case?
Robbie and Ellen.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll put it up on the Facebook and... yeah, they're really, really funny and very, very smart ladies, and I'm so looking forward to meeting them.
Yeah. It's weird to think that we're going to be on a national podcast.
It's insane.
We deserve it.
And hopefully it will help.
And it's for a good cause. Solve,
yeah,
and that's the thing.
It's not for
American Gnome case.
It's not for us. It's for somebody else's benefit.
And yes. So we'll be getting the American Elm case out there. We are also going to be doing a fundraiser to help proceeds and put together a college fund for Michael, who is Emerald's son. We are looking at the 25th of October, but that has not been solidified yet. So we'll double check and let you know that. But and we'll also talk about how tickets will be sold.
Yep.
And where it will be. This is all up in the air, but we're getting
coming.
It together.
We're closing in on it.
Yes, we have actually already talked about what we may do on the show, which is great for us.
The live show is going to be awesome.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
For us to do anything more than 5 minutes in advance.
Right.
I'm calling it a win.
I agree. Totally.
Yeah, this was a great show, guys.
I think
it was
too.
Fun.
Yeah, you want to wrap it up?
Yep.
Stay witchy, my friends.
Stay bitchy.